Our summer series this year is about encountering Jesus, and I have got the leper in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. To start out this evening, could I have a volunteer to read that section? Thank you. So we see here, I'd like to kind of go through the story first and just pull out a few things out of the story itself. And then what I'd like to do is go through this evening and see what lessons make a comparison of what we see with this leper in this story and make a comparison to us today, what we can draw from it to apply to us today. So in verse 40, we see that a leper came to Jesus. We know leprosy we see it in the Old Testament. When someone had leprosy, they was unclean. They had to stay outside of the camp. And we see that this man here, though, he came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees. So he knew that Jesus could help him. And he came imploring and asking of him if he would help him, and he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." So he knew Jesus could help him. It was just whether Jesus actually wanted to or not. And it said that Jesus was moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." So we see here that Jesus had compassion upon this man and did cleanse him of his leprosy. It says, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So, you know, here his faith in Jesus, even though Jesus was with him right at the time, his faith in what Jesus could do and his knowledge of Jesus led him to come to Jesus. If he would have never came, he would have never been cleansed. But we see that his faith in what Jesus could do led him there, and with that he was able to be cleansed. And it says in verse 43, he says, "And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourselves to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" And when I first read this, that hits me kind of odd, because why would Jesus warn him not to tell anyone? Wasn't Jesus here to spread the gospel of God and to teach people? So why would he tell this man not to say anything to anyone?
He didn't want to be mobbed.
Right.
Exactly what happened.
And it brings that out in the next couple of verses. It said that Jesus could no longer enter the cities then. He had to stay out in the desert places, and the people were still coming to him from everywhere and surrounding him. So, does anyone have anything else? I mean, the story is really pretty straightforward as to what happened there.
I don't know if you were going here or not, but it's important to mention the fact that Jesus touched him, because normally the people that were with leprosy, if you go back to Leviticus 14, when instructions were given, they were put outside the camp and remained unclean until they were, clean and cleansed with the hyssop and things, and then they went and offered to sacrifice Jesus touched him. I mean, that's a powerful statement there.
Yeah, that is a big deal, because you was not able to touch them, or you would be unclean yourself. So, anyone else? And bringing that out, I mean, bringing your point out, it wasn't that he was telling those that he knew or his friends. My version in verse 45 says that he began to proclaim it freely. So to me, that's him out telling everyone, whether he knew them or not.
We all done the same thing.
I would have.
If I encountered Jesus, I'd tell everybody.
Yes. Especially if you had some disease and was healed.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, we're a lot the same way.
I don't know if this has anything, but it said that he touched him, but then as soon as he spoke, he was healed. So did Jesus touch him because he was just compassionate and wanted to let him know, I'm here to help you? It wasn't the touching that healed him, it was more the work.
And I don't know that we're really told.
I don't know.
You know, there's no way to really know for sure. But we do know that, you know, there's other times that they just touched the hem of his garment and were healed and nothing was said. But there's also times that you can see that Jesus spoke the words and wasn't even with the person and they was healed. So. With that, what I'd like to do is actually go down through and some of these points, before I let them steal my lesson, Jay, some of these points will come out as we move forward here. And what I'd like to do is make some comparisons with what we see with this leper and bring that across to how we can apply that, what we see here in this story with us today, and how we can make use of that today. So the first thing I'd like to bring out is that we see that this man was sick with leprosy, and we know that we are all sick with sin. And to bring that out a little bit more, I'd like to, would somebody read Mark chapter 2, verses 16 and 17? Mark chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And what I wanted to look at here is we see that he was eating with tax collectors and sinners. And when they started asking questions, Jesus himself makes the comparison with the tax collectors and sinners, that those that are whole need not a physician, but those that are sick. So Jesus himself makes that comparison that sin, you know, the sickness that the leper had, and that sin is a sickness for us. Could someone read Romans chapter 3, verse 23? Romans chapter 3, verse 23. So here we see that the verse in Mark chapter 2, we see that sin is a sickness, and here we see that all have sinned. So we do have something in common with this story, with this leper, because all of us have sin in our lives. Whether we want to admit it or not, none of us are perfect, and we all have sin in our lives. While we're in Romans, could someone read Romans chapter 6 and verse 23? Romans chapter 6 and verse 23.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So here we see that we all have sin in our lives, and we all need We all need someone to cleanse us, to heal us of that. And if without that cleansing, without that healing, we are deserving of death. And you know, here we're speaking of a spiritual death. But that is what we deserve. And that is for each and every one of us without Jesus. Any comments on that part of this? Okay, the second thing that I would like to look at is also in verse 40. It says that he came to Jesus and falling on his knees before him. And we also have to come to Jesus. If we want cleansing and we want Jesus to help us, we have to come to him as well. Could someone read James chapter 4, verses 8 through 10? James chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. So here that we see that if you draw near to God, that God will draw near to you. And then it's right in that same verse, it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. So by drawing near to God is a way that we can cleanse ourselves. And if we draw near to God, if we look to him, then he will draw near to us and help us. Could someone read Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28? Matthew 11, verse 28. So there Jesus himself is inviting us to come unto him. There again showing that we do need to go to Christ and he asks us to do that. Any comments so far? The next thing that I would like to look at is that he fell on his knees. The leper fell on his knees, showing that he was humble. And we also have to come to Christ, come to God, but we have to do that humbly as well. We won't try to read it now, but in Proverbs, chapter 6, we can see seven things God hates. And one of those seven things that God hates is a haughty spirit or not being humble, someone who is proud. Could someone read James chapter 4 and verse 10? James chapter 4 and verse 10.
Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt
you. So here we see we were directly told to humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord. And as this verse says, if we humble ourselves now, he will exalt us later. One of the things that I thought about as I was going through this lesson is God doesn't need us, we need him. And we need to approach him with that in mind, that we're not helping him, he's helping us. And one of the verses that I thought about with that, with that God does not need us, was in Isaiah chapter 48, verses 12 and 13. Isaiah 48, verses 12 and 13.
Considered until morning like a lion, so he breaks all.
And that was the wrong verse I wrote down. The verse I was actually looking for was, it says that God can span the heavens in the palm of his hand. So, you know, God laid the foundation of the world, and he can span the heavens with his hand. So, you know, that's who we need to come to, and we need to be humbled coming to him. Chapter 8.
You said the right thing. I read.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, you know, God, that's one thing I think, important thing to get out of the lesson tonight, is he doesn't need us, we need him. Any comments so far? Okay, the next thing that I want to look at is that Jesus was willing to cleanse the leper. And Jesus is also willing to cleanse us. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. If I could have someone read that. There we see that he is not willing that any should perish. So he is willing to cleanse us so that we will not perish. And also a verse many of us could probably quote, John 3, verses 16 and 17. Kind of help bring this point out. John 3, verses 16 and 17. So there we see that how much God loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son. We know that he sent him as a sacrifice. So that in itself should tell us that he is not willing, or that he is willing to cleanse us, that he sent his only Son from heaven to be sacrificed here on earth. Any comments so far? Yeah, he knew it. There was no question in his mind. And that's, I guess I didn't bring that out, but do we know, do we have that understanding? Have we studied enough, and do we know that Jesus can cleanse us? And that's something that, you know, by faith and study will help us to understand that and help us to know that he can cleanse us. Any other?
Back then, there's so many stories where you read that Jesus healed people and then tells them not to go tell anybody. Yet he tells us to go and tell everybody about it, and we fail to go.
Right. Anything else? The next thing I wanted to look at then is that he cleansed him, whether it was the touch or whether it was the speaking, as we was talking about earlier, he did cleanse this man. So one of the things I wanted to look at was some different ways that, and there's many, many of these, and I just picked a few out, but some different ways and mechanisms that Christ uses to cleanse us, that God uses to cleanse us. And one of those is found in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive
So there the, I guess it brings right out in the verse that if we are willing to confess our sins, that he is able and willing to cleanse us or forgive us of our sins. I'd also like now, go ahead.
Sorry,
no, go ahead. Right.
You know, it's not about the one. It's the power of God.
Right. And that's the same with us today. It's not about the water or where we get baptized or where we go to church, what the building is. It's about God and serving Him. Any other comments? Yeah, I'd like to look at Acts 2 and verse 38.
Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
So there, as we talked about earlier, the forgiveness of sins is our cleansing. So there's another way that through baptism is another mechanism that God uses to cleanse us of our sins. Any comments there? Okay, I'd like to look at Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. So here we see that it's through the grace of God that we're purified. So the grace would be another way that I come up with, another mechanism that God uses to cleanse us. And Titus 3 and verse 5. Titus 3 and verse 5. So there we can see it's through His mercy that we are cleansed. Another verse I'd like to look at is Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Yeah, I was going to read the two prior verses as well. Says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So here we can see it's with the word that he also cleanses us. And 1 John 1 and verse 7. 1 John 1 and verse 7. That says, "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." And we know that that's, as we had talked earlier, that's, it comes back to Jesus' blood is how we are cleansed. There's some other mechanisms that come into play, but it's through Jesus' blood that we are cleansed. Does anyone have any comments? Or any other ways that we are cleansed? Bring out. Okay, if not, and we kind of touched on this earlier, I think it was Bill that touched on this a little bit, that he was told to tell no one. So, and I'd like to look at Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. If I could have someone read Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. There we see the Great Commission, as it's called, to go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So we are told to go tell everyone, go tell as many people as we can find about Christ and about what he has done for us. So kind of a, I guess you'd call it a contrast instead of a similarity there. And kind of along that same line, the leper went and told anyway, even though it was in direct contrast to what he was told. He went and told anyway. And I think kind of how I brought this down to us is, a lot of times we think we know better than God. We think that we know, you know, this is 2,000 years later, or the things wasn't here then, it's here now. And we think we know better than God. And I'd like to look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 9. So there we see that God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. There is no way that we will ever know better than God. So, you know, as this man here, he went and told everyone. I think a lot of times we'll do the same thing. We will do opposite of what we're told, thinking that we know better. We know a better way. You know, maybe baptism is always used as an example. Instead of immersion, well, we have a better way. We can sprinkle. And that's not going to work. We think we know better than God, but we do not. And his ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So kind of as the take home here tonight, just a couple of things that I think is kind of pretty important to take out of this is that Jesus is willing to cleanse us, and that he will cleanse us if we come to him humbly, and that we need to never think that we know more than he does. We need to follow his word, because He knows what we need better than we know ourselves. He knows each of us better than we know ourselves. And we just need to follow him. So is there any other thoughts or comments at this point?
We're not to do, we're sinning, right? We would be sinning. So
What was that?
Would he be sinning in a way because he went and told
him? Well, he was disobeying for sure. Yeah, he was disobeying Jesus by telling. Right. Well, that's all I have this evening. I think the lights flashed on me a little bit ago, so that's all I have. I thank everybody for your participation and comments, and hope to see you back next week for, I'm not sure who's up. You know, Brad?
No.
Okay. So series continues next Wednesday. Thank you.